We teach the Bible here. Everybody doesn't teach the Bible that we teach, but we teach the Bible here because we believe that if you apply it, I think, how many of you do believe if you apply it, life goes better for you? Is that okay? So about two or three of us in here believe that now. And so we really do practice it, and we're trying to get better at it in all ways. We're not perfect. I don't think there's anybody perfect in here, but especially me. And so if you see me and I'm not doing according to the word, or I'm not speaking to you according to the word, then let me know, or even turn me off. But let me know, because we want to be sure that we're in line with what God is saying. This morning, I want to talk to you about something in God's word that is extremely important. And young people, listen to me well. I teach, I'm a professor in a graduate school right now, even. And one of the subjects I teach is in the psychology family called lifespan human development. And whenever we teach from disciplines that are more humanistic, then we have to take theology and apply it to it. And I have found this to be a subject that is very fascinating, lifespan human development, that is, for applying what this particular individual can do to us in our growth spurt. Because it seems, well, first of all, Satan, who is the opposite in terms of knowledge, we'll just say it like that, of influence, of positive influence, is the opposite of who Jesus is. And so his job, Satan's job, is to divide us, to conquer us, and even destroy. There are some stages in life where we see this destruction more clearly than others. And I'll tell you why. I think we see it in the unborn children. They can't speak for themselves. And if we don't say anything for them, then many millions will be destroyed. And Satan will say, it's all right. It's all right to, especially to be involved in premarital intimacy. You know what that is, right? I think most of you. And so, usually, if you are involved in premarital intimacy, a child can come from that. Well, it's really easy to dispose of that child because the child can't speak for itself. Another age in the development where I see Satan being really busy is in teenagers. And a lot of it has to do with teenagers, the identity issue. I'm trying to find out who I am, whose I am. And remember, Satan's biggest influence and task is to divide us, to conquer us and destroy us. And so anything that he can divide you on, what your gender is, according to scripture, we have two genders. And does that mean that people can't choose other things? Of course not. But according to scripture, that's what it says. Yeah, we have two genders. Not seven, not eight. The two, it's a male and a female. And one kind of human being, and that's mankind, it's a human kind, but male and female in terms of gender. He'll divide us and teenagers now in terms of color. That's a big thing, color and race. And he'll find something. I don't care what it is that you have achieved. And we know that there are some people on the bottom rung that are trying to get to the top rung. Some have been forced down to the bottom rung. And, of course, it is this teenage age where they're pretty sensitive about that, about people being mistreated everywhere in the world. And one has to be careful to make sure that you're understanding what God says about that, or you'll think on your own you can cure those problems. If you ask any person in here, they'll let you know those problems have been around here for years. The next thing that I believe, say, the next developmental thing, babies, teenagers, marriage. Satan loves to cause division in marriage. Why is that? Because that's the foundation for the family. You know, if he can break up and divide up the home, he'll mess with the children. He'll mess with your grandchildren. He'll mess with those that are supposed to be the unit that will primarily take care of you when you get to be my age. The hope is you still have kids that love you and that'll be there for you. But if they've never been taught what family is, they may not be there. Some older people in my age group have experienced that, where they feel as if they've been tossed aside. Can I get a witness? And or put into homes, nursing homes, and it's that thing, and nobody comes to see you, care about you. All I'm saying is, and I know that's a lot. I know that's a lot. But you need to understand that a lot of the divisiveness, a lot of the destructiveness is coming from a position or from a place. And I want to talk about that place this morning. Now, what you decide to do with it is up to you. But Satan is man. Satan is man. And I'm telling you who he's
mad at and why he's mad. He's mad at me. And he's mad at you. And you might ask yourself the question, why is he mad at me? I didn't do anything to him. But the fact of the matter is that he's mad at you anyway. And that's why a lot of the things that we go through and a lot of the things that we have been influenced, you know, I don't want to talk that way to Cheryl. Anybody ever been there before, Chris? Anybody ever been there before, Deke, where something just comes out of your mouth and you, where'd that come from? I love this person. And we have to admit that there's some forces that are working on us that are trying to make us split up. They're trying, even at the number of years that we have, I have to be careful of that. Because I can put my foot in my mouth and cause 53 years to go down the drain. Can I get a witness? So I have to understand Satan is mad with me. If you're a Christian, point your finger at yourself. He's mad at you. And a lot of the divisiveness, a lot of the destruction that you may be experiencing. We are the richest nation in the world. We've got more than we've ever had, but we also are the sickest in terms of our mental health, our physiological health, and I would say our spiritual health, but there's an answer for the spiritual health. We're going to be looking at Revelations 12, 1-7. For those of you who did not bring a Bible, it's okay because we have the Bible right up here and on the screen, and you'll be able. How many of you want this morning? Anybody want? Okay, all right. So we're answering the question. Here's the question. Here's the question. Why is Satan mad at me? I think when you understand why, then you'll be able to apply the word and do, you know, sort of like I take insulin every day. Not maybe, might be, I take it every day. Why? Because I'm a diabetic. And if I don't take it, then I won't make it because my body no longer makes insulin. Well, I think that when we have good information, then we can do what it takes to help us to do better. Are you with us? And so our background scripture is 12a of Revelation 12. John is on an island in the Aegean Sea called Patmos. He is a prisoner. And the only reason why he is a prisoner is because he was talking about Jesus. So obviously the people that put him there, they don't like Jesus. They don't want to hear about Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Romans believed in a humanistic God. They believed that the Caesars were gods. And so you couldn't talk against Caesar or mention another person being God. And John did. And so he's on the island there. And Jesus, who is God, he had died and rose. He came to visit him. And he's in the middle of the book. Right in the middle of the book here right now. If for you Bible scholars, you know that there's a period that's called the tribulation. And so this is right after the seventh trumpet. Not before the bowls were given out, but right at the seventh trumpet. So it's the great tribulation. And Jesus, who is actually the only book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, where Jesus actually gives the word, not inspires. He gives the word to John and tells him, write this down, just like I tell you. So that lets you know how important it is. Most of the book is futuristic, things to come. But this chapter is historical. It's things that happened. God wanted, Jesus wanted John to know why the bad things were coming. Bad things going to be this Antichrist and the political and the bad priest that was coming. So he wanted him to know where these bad things came from. And so in 12a, it said, are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, I see you got, you know, when it gets quiet, that means, all right, people are eating. All righty. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. In other words, if you dwell in the heavens, everything is good. Everything is fine. You don't have a problem, but you have to read the whole statement because it says what? But woe to the earth. If you live in the earth or on the earth realm and the sea, which is where we live, because the devil has gone down to you. How did he get here? He is filled with fury. In other words, he's mad. He's angry. And he's down here with you, and you, and you, and you, especially, and me. So why is he so mad? Four truths from this text. The first one is Satan lost his place with God, and believers gained a place. So Satan, he's mad at God because God put him out. God took his place away from him. And when I want you to think about a place, I'm not thinking about so much a locale, though heaven is a locale, but that's not the place I'm talking about. I'm talking about his position. So like my position, out of everybody in here, I've only got one position as a husband, and that's with her. Are you with me? She's in the wife place. I'm in the husband place. Satan was once in a good place with God. We're going to see that in just a minute. And God put him out. But he's mad with you and I because you took his place. You're in good with God now. Can I get a witness? You're in the right place with God now. Now let's see how he got there and how we got there. Revelation 1. It's a little bit of reading, but stick with me. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This is what you call apocalyptic literature, which means literature that is hidden. It is revealed. There is the meaning of the literature is under it. And so for right now, this second, without a whole lot of explanation, this woman is Israel. Are you with me? A crown of 12 stars. Those are the 12 tribes on her head. So we know this is Israel. She was pregnant and she cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Now we got to find out who that child is. Then another sign appeared in heaven. Now remember, is this on earth or on heaven? This is in heaven, and it's before there was an earth. At this time, when Jesus is giving John this picture, there is no earth. He's on earth, John is on earth, but he's talking about a time before the creation of the earth. Because remember, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, the only thing that wasn't in the beginning or was in the beginning was God himself. So he creates the heavens and everything in them and the earth. In creatio ex nihilo Elohim bara. That word bara means there was nothing but God. And he makes everything. There was another sign that appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon. Remember, this is apocalyptic literature. This is not talking about somebody running around with a sharp, pointy head and a long tail, but it represents Satan with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Now, those numbers there are very significant because they represent somebody who has authority. And those horns, very powerful. Are you with me? Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Now, again, this is before the earth. So a better interpretation of this is the earth realm that Satan sweeps a third. Now, can you imagine that? All of the created angels in heaven, Satan sweeps a third of them out of the sky. So those are individuals we call demons. Are you with me? In other words, they're on Satan's side. They don't have any question with them. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment it was born. So obviously this was an important child. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a little hint. Satan knows that this child is going to be closer to God the Father than even himself. Are you with me? So he's real mad about that. I got to get this child. Anybody here the second born of two children or the first born of two children? Sometime I remember when our second born came along, or the last two, excuse me, of our second set, and the daughter, our youngest daughter, but older than our son, said, Why did you have to bring your baby brother home? Because she wanted everything to herself. Well, Satan is jealous. He wants everything to himself. She gave birth to a son. This is Jesus, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God, to his throne. Now, what is the interpretation here? God's not going to let Satan get Jesus, and no way. God actually puts on a body, puts on eyes, ears, nose, and a mouth, and so he takes him out of the reach. When you hear the word God, you must think in terms of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were always here, they always were, and they always will be. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her, remember this is Israel, by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Now, how many years is that, young people? All right, that's pretty good math. That's 3.5 years. Thank you. Then war. Verse 7. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels. Now, Michael was sort of like the leader of the fighting angels. He's what you call an archangel or a guardian angel. Satan is also an archangel and a fighting angel. And so God's not going to get into fight. He don't need to be fighting anybody. Matter of fact, Satan wouldn't be an equal foe for him anyway. But they get into a fight, and the dragon and his angels fought back. So can you see them? Oh, that's got to be something. They really, bang, 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 bang. I can see Satan's head going back and everything. You know, this is quick. Whew. But he was not strong enough. Talking about Satan. And they lost what? Their place. He lost. He was right beside God, and he loses his place. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Now remember, is there an earth at this point? We're talking about before time, before the earth time. So is there an earth? No. He's a spiritual being, so he doesn't need a physical planet to walk around on like we do. He's in the earth realm. This is very important to understand that why in the Garden of Eden, Satan shows up, because he was already here. Do y'all hear me? All right. Some other books that also have an apocalyptic element can help us to understand better here. Ezekiel is one of those books. Ezekiel 28:12b. You were the seal. He's talking about Satan here. You were the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. In other words, God created you and you had everything. You looked good. You sound good. You were smart. You were right next to God, so you got the wisdom right from God. Now, I can only assume that Satan must have had a free will, because I don't think I see anywhere in Scripture where any of the other angels have free will. But Satan must have, and he's the closest. Ezekiel goes on to say, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, carnelian, chrysolite, emerald, topaz, onyx, jasper, lupus, lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold on the day you were what? Created. Well, God created, because he creates everything. He created Satan, but he created him good. Not only did he create him good, he looked good. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, and so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Here is the, how do we know the wickedness of Satan? Because he always takes God's word and turns it around. Y'all don't hear me. He always takes God's word and he waters it down. He always takes God's word and makes it more palatable for you to hear so that it feels good and does nothing necessarily for you, and so that you'll go in another direction. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. You went away from God. So I drove you in disgrace. This is God speaking from the mount of God, and I expelled you. I kicked you out. Guardian cherub. Remember, Michael was the guardian cherub. He's a guardian cherub too. The Satan is from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom. You had good wisdom. You had a good word that came from God, and you corrupted it because of your splendor. You wanted everybody to look at you and to praise you. And so God says, well, I threw you to the earth realm, and I made a spectacle of you before kings. That means other great angels and so forth. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star. I think that's quite interesting, because who else is called the morning star? Jesus is. And morning star actually means the one who is perfect. His name is wonderful. His name is marvelous. And Satan wanted that name. Son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zapon. Now, Mount Zapon was sort of like Mount Zion was to the earth. Remember, Mount Zion is the place where God is supposed to reside on the earth. But Mount Zapon was considered to be to the north, where God lived at this particular time. I will ascend above the top of the clouds, and I will make myself, this is Satan talking, I will make myself like the Most High. Do you see what's happening here? He wanted power. He wanted authority. And he had good power and he had good authority, but he wanted more, which is what caused him to lose his place with God. Revelations 21:3 says, talking about you getting the place. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now where? Now, you mean to tell me that the God of the universe, the great God who created the world from nothing, lives inside of me? They will be his people. God Almighty, if that's not enough to drive you to your knees, you know, let me tell you what, that'll wake you up, won't it? That'll wake you up right there. But God, I don't have to ask God to come into this place. If I'm in here, he's here. I just need to represent. I need to let people know. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them. And he'll be their best friend. Is that what he said? No, I'll be God. In other words, you always follow me. It doesn't turn around. I don't follow you. I called you. You know, a lot of people say they're called to preach. Nobody's called to preach. We're called to God. God may give you the gift of preaching. We're not called to a gift. You're called to God, who calls you to follow. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus the Christ. And I will be his people till the day I die. That's number one. Now, let me ask you something, because I don't want to rush this. If you think that that's enough for you to swallow right now today, then we'll come back and do the other three truths next week. We don't have to rush. How many are feeling, you know what? This is enough right now to go and check out. You know what? That's what I'm going to do. I think that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. All right. Because, you know, I used to preach, I got to get through this. I don't have to get through nothing. You know, my concern is that you get the word of God, not because Leroy Gainey said it, but because his word said. And that was a lot of scripture right there. So you go and you test it out. Now, if you want this sermon in PowerPoint form, Brother Ralph, I'm going to ask if anybody wants it, they just call the church, and if we could have the church to make it available to them so that you can at least be able to look up for yourself. You don't want to just take my word. I'm not that good. All right. Yes. Oh, the website. It'll be on the website, at least the first point. We don't want to put everything else of it. Just the first bit. And what is the first one? Satan lost his place. And guess who's in his place now? Little old black me. That's right. I used to be at the bottom of the heap. But little old black me, I'm in the place. I was at the bottom of the heap. Who was no one. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That you talk to me. And that you go to bed even when I'm sleeping. You're watching over me. You're praying over me. Sometimes I can hear Cheryl praying over me at night. Especially when my legs are bothering me. He never goes to sleep. Satan is mad at me because I got his place. I got his place. And maybe you don't know that today. And I hope I explained it good enough that you will at least want to say, you know what? I got a better place than where I am and what I'm doing. And I want that place. I want to be right next to God. And the only way to get next to God is through Jesus. I'm going to ask if our counselors would come. I'm going to ask if our worship leaders, and you know, our worship